never let the righteous fall. So today we just give you all of our anxiety, concern, and worry. That's yours. That's not ours. Thank you for the invitation that we could cast all our cares on you because you care for us. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. So I just lift off any heaviness today off of your people. If they're carrying things that are heavy, we just declare that is not from the Lord. Because your burden is light, your yoke is easy. So journey with us today, Father, as we just look into your word. And give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. In Jesus' name. So, let's workshop this stuff. His voice, the voice of the Lord, is commonly found throughout Scripture. You see, right at the outset of Scripture, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Boom! And God said. It's absolutely presumed that this is what God does, is he talks. It's who he is, like right from creation. There's no explanation. Well, where does God come from? No explanation. God is, always has been, always will be. It's the eternality of God. Right along with his power attributes, that is that he is omniscient, he is omnipresent, and he is omnipotent. That is, he knows all, he's everywhere present, and he's all-powerful. Right along with those power attributes of God founded in creation, boom, he just starts talking. Not just once, but it was 10 times. I mentioned last night I thought it was 9. Sometimes we round off in preaching. It's the license of the Lord. 10 times in chapter 1, God just starts talking. It's actually the agent of creation. God speaks, things are established. And this is reiterated in the New Testament. He is the God who speaks to things that are not as though they were. And how does he do that? He speaks it. He declares it. That is the vehicle of his creative essence. Continues verse 27 of Genesis 1. He creates man and woman. First thing he does, soon as he creates them, what does he do? He talks to them. I just want you to see this is scripturally normal. God talks to his people. Makes sense, right? New Testament, similar kind of train of thought for knowing God. His sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Later in that same chapter, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So knowing God is right on par with knowing his voice. If you know him, you know his voice. So when people say, "Oh, I don't hear God," oh, you don't know him then? Because he's a God who is perpetually speaking and revealing and creating. It's just part of his nature. And I see some of you just like, "Yeah, of course." And then for some of you, it's like, you know, you're a little bit of the spirit of a donkey looking at a gate. But I just want you to know, it is normal for God to speak. Now, here's the tricky part, is for a lot of folks, we just don't know what that means. I mean, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. My daddy was a Pentecostal preacher. Both my grandpas were Pentecostal preachers and church planters, pioneers. My grandfather was a Pentecostal pioneer. And before that, we were generations of Methodists and Baptists and even Quakers way back. So I'm very thankful for the godly tradition, but I grew up in this, and I'm still like, wow, God speaks to my dad and my mom, and God speaks to my grandparents, but as I mentioned last night, I'm just a regular guy. What does that even mean? The heavens have never opened. I've never heard a thundering voice. Mark, Mark, Mark. I've never heard that. So what does this mean, like, to hear God's voice? Scripturally, hearing God's voice manifests in the church with spiritual gifts showing up every Sunday. Here's the exhortation of Paul at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. The word for eagerly desire there is the same word that we get flame or zeal or fire from. It's this burning passion. Like, when you wake up Sunday morning, are you just itching to get to church because you can't wait to encourage somebody? Like, eagerly desire. Wow. And then in 14:1, so let me just give you a quick little thought here. 1 Corinthians 12:31 ends with eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And then 14:1 starts with follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So you get two verses that are saying the same thing, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. What's in between those two verses? 1 Corinthians 13, which is
love.
The love chapter.
Yeah.
Eagerly desiring the spiritual gifts, the filling of that sandwich is love. If you can get this, you just got the spiritual gift sandwich. It's a passion for God to help people and encourage people. And you got that on the bottom, you got that on the top, and the filling of that is just a heart of love. So in 14:1, he says, follow the way of love. That the word follow there is a tracking word for those of you that have hunted or trapped. It's to look for the hints. Look for the subtle little nuances. Look for need in people. Look for brokenness in people. Track that down, and that's where you administer the spiritual gifts. Whenever you see brokenness and hurt and in your heart, remember how Jesus stood over Jerusalem and his heart just broke for the city, wept over the city, and he said, as a hen
gathers
the chicks, so I've longed to just draw you to myself. That is the very essence, again, of the spiritual gifts. That, again, it's a hunting word. It's follow, track, you know, the spirit of Elmer Fudd. I'm hunting wabbits. You know, you're just looking for any little clue. Do you come to church like that Sunday morning, or maybe you're like me and sometimes you come to church as a consumer? Oh, come on, I put hard-earned money in this offering. Come on, pastor, give me a good sermon. Feed me. When I hear people say, well, you know what, I'm leaving that church, I'm going to a different church because I just wasn't getting fed there. What? Is that how the kingdom works now? You paid, so you should get fed? It's like a restaurant now? Is this where we're going, commercialism in the house of God? No, listen to me. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he became a servant. He made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant and being found in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's Philippians something, chapter 2, yeah. That's the heart, right? The servant heart. So when you come to church, when you go to church tomorrow morning, you're not going to get, you're going to give primarily. And here's the beauty of the kingdom. If you go to give, you're probably going to get. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you go with the heart of giving, you go and like, well, I was up late Saturday and I was praying because I know this one sister, she's really struggling. I'm like, oh, Lord, just give me a word. Just give me a verse, something I can encourage her with. Oh, and I got to stop by the bank machine because I already got my tithes and offerings out. But then I heard so-and-so is out of work and I want to give him $100. And I don't know where I'm going to find it next week, but I got it in my account this week. So I got to get that money to give him. And I'm going to give her a verse that the Lord gave me. I just can't wait to get to church because I got so much I have to give tomorrow morning. Right? Are you getting this? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? That's the spirit of the spiritual gifts. So follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. And then check out Paul's heart, Romans 1, verse 11 and 12. He said, I long to see you. Again, a word of passion. There's this longing for him to be in Rome because he wants to impart some spiritual gift to make them strong, and then he unpacks it. That is, that you and I might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I love his presumption. I can't wait to get to Rome so that we can spiritual gift all over each other. Do you presume on God? I mean, in this healthy biblical way. I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to get over to my Christian friend's house for dinner on Friday night. I can't wait to get to that little prayer gathering we're having. I can't wait to meet my friend for coffee, because when I meet them, boom, we're going to have spiritual gifts together. And listen, if you're so heavenly minded that you see the spiritual gifts as, well, maybe if we're lucky, somebody will bring a spiritual gift. No, you lean into the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, you love giving good gifts. Remember last night, Luke 11:11, he longs to give good the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask. It's not just the tongues, it's any manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's why they're called gifts. They're free. And how many of you know the gifts and the callings are without repentance? Even if your life isn't perfect, even if everything's not in line, God loves to give gifts. How many of you know God can speak through a jackass? And don't point at me, okay? Careful there, careful. I see where you're going with this, guys. And that's why I say that my philosophy of church is Christmas every Sunday. I love just to pause. I love to just to wait. Remember last night, we're just lingering, and Rob and Krista are leading us, and this one sister. What's your name again, lady?
Charlotte.
What a lovely lady you are, Charlotte. Look at her, she's just full of joy. Yeah, that's Holy Ghost on you. That's Jesus in you. She's just like, Charlotte. Just full of joy. Right? I love that. We wait for a minute, and Charlotte's just bubbling. Now, I don't know anything about her. She could be a total heretic for I know, and, you know, live in some worldly. But I don't suspect so, because she radiates the life of Jesus. And I love it. When I get together with people, I'm not just talking church. Like, get your head out of the church for a minute and get into the real world. I love getting together with a friend at a coffee shop. And you know what I do when I drive in the car to meet a friend for coffee? I always say, Holy Spirit, what's on your agenda? And I'll just start praying for that person. I'm with Andrew, Pastor Andrew, in the car this morning, and Andrew said, you know, Mark, as I was praying about the conference and, you know, praying for you, you know, the Lord gave me this picture. And he just shares this little thought with me. And it was like, boom, that's exactly where we're at. I'm talking to my wife this afternoon. She's back in Ontario. And I said, honey, Andrew had this picture. I shared it with her, and she's like, oh, it's beautiful. That's so rich. That's exactly what we're believing for the Lord to do. And all we were doing was going for a drive and headed for some seafood chowder. Which I must say, what was that place we were at?
Papa Joe and Evie's.
Yeah, Papa Joe and Evie's. My Lord, if that seafood chowder don't make you speak in tongues, I don't know what will. My Father. Seriously, that's the best seafood chowder I've had in my life. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. It just ministered to my spirit. It really did. We can presume on the Holy Spirit, but secondly, I want you to see from that verse that we can be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Oh. You know, I've been in ministry 32 years. But can I tell you something? Sometimes I'll meet with somebody that doesn't even know Jesus yet, and they'll just knock my socks off with a little word of encouragement. I'll be like, oh, what? You've only known Jesus for a couple days, and you're sharing stuff with me. Did you read my mail? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get your mail read, right? Because God knows. God knows. I got a million stories I could share with you, but I want you to be the story today. So I'm going to move on. So here's a straight up question. How do you hear God's voice? Whoops, 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 stop that, stop that. Don't look at the screen. It's not supposed to be doing this yet. Hold on. Go, get thee behind me. Oh, no, this is just... How did I do that? Okay. Okay, here we're going back. Okay, how do you hear God's voice? If you couldn't read, how do you hear God's voice? How do you personally hear God's voice? Sorry? In your thoughts. Okay. Others, how do you hear God's voice? Yeah. When you're still reading the Bible. Number one answer right here, ladies and gentlemen. Number one answer, how you hear God's voice, reading the Bible. Right? And doing the dishes. How do you hear God's voice when you're doing the dishes? So how does that happen? How does he come in? Like this sister over here said, in your thoughts, he talks to you. Do you actually hear a voice? How many of you totally clued in, saying, yeah, I know what she's talking about. God speaks to you through. How many of you are going, I don't know what you're talking about here. Because I used to hear this all the time growing up, like God spoke to me. And I'd be like, I don't know what you mean. So let's pretend I'm just the new guy here. How does that happen through your thoughts or through your... Words, okay. The words are there. Sorry? Pops into your head. Like a deposit. Okay. Is it going to be like a really deep voice with a Jewish accent or Greek, King James? Yes, these are all possible accents. Yes, yes. Okay, so you just got that little phrase, raise your expectations. Right. So really what you had was just a phrase, raise your expectations. Did you have like, because you spoke two paragraphs. You didn't even have the full sentence, all you had was raise your expectations. And then as you started to talk, more came. Beautiful. Beautiful. So that phrase, raise your expectations, where did that, how did you get that? Right? So the Lord has this thought, raise your expectations. Here's where I want to really break it down. How did that get to you? How did you hear that? Okay, so you're open, you're listening, your heart is opening. Yeah, that's good. Good. So we're going with the voice here. Are there other ways God speaks? Dreams. Again, very huge biblical way God speaks to people through dreams. We kind of write that off, eh, and say, oh, no, that's more for the New Agers. No, we had it first. They stole it. Dreams, visions, very biblical thing. Answered prayers, absolutely. Other Christians. How many of you have God spoken to you through other Christians? That's a powerful one. Yeah. But I want to come back to this one. What's your name, lady?
Muriel
said, through the scripture, through your Bible. No matter what God speaks to you, whether it's through a dream or a vision or other Christians or standing at your kitchen sink, through your thoughts, it's got to line up with scripture. right? If God tells you to do something that's, I'm not saying it's beyond Scripture, that's okay. Like, the Bible doesn't speak of automated dishwashers. But how many of you know those are from the Lord? Right? Come on. Although you don't find it in Scripture. So it's not against. All I'm saying is it's not against Scripture. It can be beyond the scope of Scripture, but it's not against Scripture. Right? It has to carry the spirit of the written word. Let me just go through the checklist real quick. I think we got most of them here. So dreams, visions. Let me mention thoughts and impressions, because a lot of people, it's hard to describe, but if, why is one, get thee behind me. If we go with thoughts and impressions, a lot of people don't, we'll come to that in a second. A lot of people just don't get this part of hearing God's voice. But when you talk about, I had a thought, or I had this impression, or there was something in my imagination. Like when I say the words, pink elephant, everybody in the room goes one of two ways. Either you see a picture of a pink elephant. How many of you saw a little picture in your head? How many of you saw the words P-I-N-K E-L-E-P-H-A-N-T? Anybody? Yeah, a couple. Some people, that's just how you saw the words pink elephant. That's okay too. But either way, it's a pictorial representation of a thought. Again, a puppy can see a pink elephant and just go, oh. It doesn't think pink elephant. It may have, and that's why dogs sometimes do dumb things. You think, well, this just happened to you yesterday, and now, because they don't have a way of capturing the thought linguistically. When God speaks to us, we either get a picture or the words. And so when people say God spoke to me, and again, I joked about this, does he have a deep voice? Is there a Hebrew accent or is a King James accent? Because you know what? It's probably going to be pretty similar to your voice. And using words that you know and words that are meaningful to you. Thoughts and impressions, again, God's speaking to you by the Holy Spirit. He'll use your seemer, your thinker. Sorry, that was on the list too. I'm going to push the button. Hopefully I don't go too far this time. But when God speaks through whatever, dreams, visions, thoughts and impressions, sometimes it comes in words, phrases. How many of you heard an actual voice? Yeah, there's always a few. I've never heard an actual voice, but there's always a few people that have actually heard an audible. That's pretty cool. That's pretty special. Sometimes it's through your senses. I like this one from Acts 15:28. They're not sure what way they should go with church rules and regulations. So they listen to this phrase. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements, that you should abstain from food, sacrifice to idols, and abstain from sexual immorality. That's their big two rules in the church in the first century. But how did they get there? It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. It seemed good. How many of you know what it, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like God speaks to your seamer, right? And it's maybe one of those issues, you know, like a serious life issue. Should we buy this house or should we buy that house? Well, this, they both have good pros and cons, both about the same price. I don't know which way to, and how do you decide? One just seems, you know, you sleep on it, you don't rush into a decision, something builds in your, and it just seems good to you and to the Holy Spirit. That's a way that God speaks, is through your seamer. Another way God speaks to you is the one I want to touch on here on the screen, through a burden. I'm going to put this down because I keep hitting the button and ruining it. But Abraham Herschel is actually just Orthodox Jewish guy. He wrote a New York Times bestseller on, and it's neat because he just comes from a Hebrew perspective, nothing Christian about it. And this is probably 15, not more than that. Yeah, about 15 years ago. Herschel said that as you study the Old Testament prophets, many of them are seers. You know, like Ezekiel saw the valley of dry bones, he saw the river, and he's seeing things from the Lord. But some of the other prophets, you get this in the King James, they say that Malachi, for example, shared the burden of the Lord. And Herschel says this is one of the most exceptional examples of biblical intimacy. Are you ready for this? Where you feel what God feels. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Like, you've been married 30, 40, 50 years. Like, my wife's not with me this weekend, but I have spent a lot of time with that lady. If I were to walk into a dress shop, I can kind of go through the racks and say, okay, my wife would hate that one. She'd hate that one. Oh, she would love this one. She'd love this one. This one, I really don't know. Toss a coin. But how do I know that? Because I've entered into my wife's emotions. I know kind of how she thinks. Not that any man can ever know what a lady thinks. Like, who has known the mind of a lady? Who? Right, right. No, you can know the mind of a man. There's nothing to know. Just give me food and a nice place to sit. I'm happy. But what a beautiful expression, eh? You feel what God feels. You enter into the emotions of God. That's a beautiful way. And here's a good exercise for you. Next time you're watching the evening news, just ask the Lord, how do you feel about each news story? And I think if you really open your heart, you'll be amazed how little judgment he feels and how much empathy and care. And rather than getting angry at seeing this protest or this thing that's happening, you'll just spend a lot of time weeping. That's very much the heart of the Lord. And again, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But when you enter into his emotions, I guarantee you it is life-changing. And again, if you're somebody that's heard from the Lord many times, many wash dishes at the sink and lots of opportunities here from the Lord, this is my challenge to you. Go a little deeper and say, Lord, how do you feel about that? So when you see people that are out doing a pro-life rally, if all you do is get angry, can I just throw this out? You've missed the heart of the Lord. If everything in you is just responding and, oh, that just ticks me off, ask the Lord what he feels. And open your heart to him. It's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. Anyways, that's just kind of... So I want to do this quick little exercise. All those ways God speaks to you through your thoughts and imaginations. I'm going to ask you just to do some centering prayer for a minute. I don't know if you know this term. I don't know if it's common to you. But I have some more teaching. But we're just going to pause for whatever, 5 or 10 minutes. And I want you to just center your thoughts on Jesus. Andrew, can you just start playing the music again, the worship music? And I want you to ask the Lord this question. Father, how do you feel about me? It's one of the greatest ways to learn the voice of God. Just ask him, how do you feel about me? And then whatever comes to mind, if you got a pen and paper, write it down. Or if you have a smartphone, just take some quick notes, make a little note. And whatever he speaks to you, he might speak a Bible verse, because remember, he speaks through the Word. He might speak something you've heard before. He might speak to you through a favorite song. or an old song lyric or a poem or a story you memorized, or he might show you a picture. But Father, right now in Jesus' name, would you just speak to your people? I just declare over them, they're not illegitimate kids. They don't need a prophet. They don't need a pastor. They don't need some man or woman of God to step in. We are legitimate children, and you love to speak to your kids. So, Father, just come and share some of your heart with us. And tell us how you feel about us. In Jesus' name. How many of you got something already? The Lord whispered something into your heart. I'll just give you another minute, okay? Father, just show us how you feel about us. Just clear our minds. Push aside busyness and distractions of the day. And we focus on you, Lord Jesus. How many of you just felt the Lord speak to you something about how he loves you? How many of you got something like that? Hey, you know that's incredibly biblical, right? Yeah. How many of you, anybody get some kind of word having to do with, how can I describe this? Just a word of affirmation. Not just that he loves you, but he likes what you're about, or he likes what you're doing. Yeah, yeah. A few of you got that. Anybody get a Bible verse? Yeah, what'd you get? Wow. No good thing will he withhold. Wow. You know what? It's a good day to be you. No good thing will he withhold from you. And he just gave you that scripture. What? Isn't that sweet? And again, how do we get these? They're just thoughts. They're impressions. And can I just challenge you? The more time you'll take listening to him, this can become the very center of your existence. How your dad, how your heavenly father feels about you. That's life changing. I mean, there's incredible security and rest that comes out of that. I mean, I've been working on my relationship with Jesus my whole life. And even now, when I pause for a minute and I ask him how he feels about me, I hear him laughing. Because we have a very playful relationship. Is that biblical? Let me think. Absolutely. In his presence there is fullness of joy and eternal pleasures at his right hand. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy. Yeah, so it's like, I remember one time I was sitting in a room with a very prophetic couple, and we're having some conversation in my living room, and they turned to me and they said, so Mark, tell us about your journey with Jesus. And I'm sitting on a love seat at the time, and I just lean over on the love seat, and I said, well, why don't you ask him? He's right here. He's right beside me. Like, we're buddies. I mean, he's my Lord, but we're also friends. He didn't just come to call me a servant. He came to call me a friend. And the lady starts laughing, and I said, you know what? He really likes me. He thinks I'm neat. He loves hanging out with me. And she started laughing even harder because she said, that's exactly what the Lord was sharing with me. He just loves spending, and he does. Again, there's times in your life where you're hurting and broken. He's not going to be laughing. He's going to be you. He's right there with you. He's weak. Like, whatever you need in those moments, he's the eternal God. And if it takes you weeks and months and years to get to a place where you can be laughing again, guess what? That heaviness, it might remain for a night. But how many of you know what's coming in the morning? Yeah. And listen, a lot of us, we get so overwhelmed with circumstantial lies, we miss the truth. How many of you know it's the truth that sets you free? How many of you know there's a difference between facts and truth? Like, the fact may be that I'm unemployed. The fact may be that I have no money. The fact may be that the doctor said I have a sickness. But the truth is that I am washed in the blood of Jesus. The old is gone. The new is come. I'm going to live forever. I have strength and peace and health and everything I've ever needed. He has provided already. That is the truth. And he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Guess what? He said, I am the way, the... Yeah, so when he says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, he's saying you'll know Jesus. You'll know him. And his sheep know his voice. Listen, if you find you're getting discouraged, my God, you've just lost track of his voice. And if you'll spend time in his presence, I'm not just saying going through your little checklist, oh God, help Uncle Fred and be with Cousin Susie and oh Jesus, help this situation and these dear people. My God, that's all I could do every day in prayer. That's just depressing. But when you pray on all occasions with thanksgiving, the scripture said, that's a game changer. Thank you, Father. You're turning this around with Fred, and I declare life and blessing and peace into his situation. Again, I don't know if you're just sitting in Andrew's workshop, but there's this a declarative authority. Again, we're partnering with Jesus in prayer, not being overwhelmed. Like, if your prayer time is like, oh, Jesus, I got to go to prayer. Oh, I'm going to, like, you're missing it. Like, you need to just get the word into you and declare that, rather than being overwhelmed by circumstances. You hear what I'm saying? So we hear, like we hear the word, we let the word come alive in us, we let the word come out of us, word come in, word come out, and just speak life on the situation. So, yeah, so the Father's speaking great words over you, and now I want to go from this hearing, not just internalizing it, but moving it out and sharing it. So the purpose of the gifts is for encouragement and edification. Let me just be really quick with these. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says it's for the encouragement and comfort. Verse 4, it edifies the church. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 14, it's so that the church may be edified. Verse 26, all these gifts must be done for the strengthening of the church. And again, that verse I mentioned in Romans 1 is so that you may be mutually encouraged. That's a recurring theme around the spiritual gifts. It's to encourage, it's to give life, it's to edify or to build up. That word literally means. So again, if somebody comes into your situation and they're broken, you don't have to wait for the direction of God. You just begin to see them whole. You start to speak healing. You start to declare the purposes of God onto them. I don't know if you've seen these cardboard testimonies where people write their testimony down. And this is what the word of the Lord does. This is what a prophetic word does, or a word of wisdom, or a word of knowledge. It just says to somebody, hey, listen, God is very interested in you. I was with a friend a few years ago who's an evangelist. His name's Johnny. And Johnny's good Baptist background, so he's really good at sharing his faith. And everywhere you go with Johnny, it's embarrassing. Like, there's nothing subtle about him. And he's from the South. He's from L.A., Lower Alabama. And he's as redneck as you can get. So, like, if you go into Swiss Chalet with Johnny, people standing in line have heard about Jesus right away. The person seating you hears about Jesus. As they're taking you to their seat, he's telling people about Jesus on the way to the... Well, Mark, I might never see these people again. Hey, listen, if you were to die, do you know where you'd spend eternity if you died tonight? Johnny, just go easy. He's just so... And it's, you know, it's a beautiful expression of... That's who he is, but I'm Canadian. Right? I'm just following around everywhere going, sorry, 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 sorry. So we get to our seat. This is a true story. We get to our seat, and I said, Johnny, that's just not going to fly. Like, you know, we need to, like, love on these people. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to be involved, not just boom, 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 drive, 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 drive. And it's tough because that's his calling. He's an evangelist. He leads people to Jesus all the time. He said, I don't know what you mean, Mark. I don't know what you mean. I said, well, before you destroy our relationship with the waitress, can you just shut your mouth for a minute, look at your menu, and let's just try to engage the situation. So this nice young lady comes up to our table, and I'm already under my breath. I'm just silently praying in the spirit, just getting ready for this moment. Lady walks up to the table and she says, hi, how you doing? But what I hear is, I'm in a really broken relationship with my boyfriend and I'm miserable right now. That's what I hear in my head. Hear what I'm saying? Like, she's pleasant on the outside, but her brokenness walks up to the table. And because I've just been gently praying in the spirit, I pick up on that vibe. So I'm not quite sure what to do with it, so I just said, Miss, can I ask you a question? Yeah, sure. I just get this feeling there's a real heaviness of heart. Is everything okay with you and your boyfriend? She goes white as a ghost. She's like, how did you know that? Were you talking to somebody? I said, I don't know you. But you know what? God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. And we were just praying before you came to the table. And I sense there's real hurt in your heart. And she's wiping away tears. She takes our order. She says, I'll come back. She comes back with our food a few minutes later. Encourage her some more. She says, I have a break time coming up. I asked my manager. And I told her there were some people here from a conference and they were hearing from God. So I asked if I could take my break with you, and my manager made an exception and said I could. So she comes and sit with us at her break time. I talked to her for about a minute and I said, Johnny, Go ahead. And I watched how gently and masterfully, in 5 minutes, Johnny led her into the kingdom of Jesus. Right, like right there at Swiss Chalet. We finished up, and she still had 10 minutes left in her break time, so I said, now listen, it's really important that you read your Bible. You know, I'm being all pastoral, right? You got to read your Bible. You need to get into a fellowship with other Bible-believing Christians, people you can be accountable to and grow with and learn with. That's very important. You need to get rooted in the faith. So read your Bible, start with the Gospel of John. You know, this is what you do, right, when you're sharing Jesus with people. It's not rocket science. You can do it. I can do it. And I said, do you know a good Bible-believing church? And she says, yeah. You know, my neighbor has been bugging me to go to church for like, I don't know, 6 months. She's been after me. You got to come to my church. You got to come to my church. You got to come to my church. I said, do you know where it is? She goes, yeah, it's right around the corner from here. And she names it. And I said, I know the pastor there. He's my friend. You know what? You need to go this Sunday with your friend. Before you leave the table, you got to call or text message your friend and tell her you'll go to church with her this Sunday. And when you get to church, I want you to talk to the pastor, and I want you to publicly say out loud in front of as many people as are there. Maybe he'll let you have the mic, or maybe he'll do it on Sunday night. I don't know. But publicly confess your faith. That's also, and I explained to her why from Scripture. And she said, that's awesome. And she did. She made it to church the following Sunday. She became discipled. But she had a moment where God rocked her world, because I just had this impression she was hurting. She was struggling with her relationship with her boyfriend. That's all I got. But it was enough to turn her life upside down. And now she's in the kingdom. Well, thanks in part to me sitting with crazy evangelist guy. So that's the purpose. Oh, I just love this verse. I want to share one verse with you. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The word manifestation there is phanerosis in the Greek language, which means an exhibition, an expression, a bestowment, or a manifestation. But it's given for the common good. Common good is from two Greek words, soon and phero. Soon meaning with, and phero to bring forth. So to bring forth together. Soon phero. Does that sound familiar, that word? Soon phero? Yeah, symphony. That's how you transliterate that word. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to be a symphony. Isn't that beautiful? So listen, you, and this is the deal, is when Johnny and I met that girl at Swiss Chalet, I'll come back to this in a second. This is for the church. But when you take the church out onto the street, when you take the church into the coffee shop, Johnny was the trumpet, I was the flute. Right? She didn't need a trumpet. She didn't need somebody telling her in her face, you know, listen, if you were to die tonight, you could go to hell. She didn't need that. She needed a flute. Just say, hey, boyfriend, ow, I just a gentle flute. And then Johnny comes along. Okay, Johnny, now go ahead. And he nails it. And that's the beauty, the trumpet and the flute together, not your usual duet. But this is how the body of Christ works. So on a Sunday, you got a greeter at the front door saying, hey, are you new here? I love your scarf. Where did you get that? And all of a sudden, this person comes in like, I don't know if I'm going to feel comfortable in church. Oh, she likes my scarf. Huh. And that's all it has to be, is just a maybe a positive little word of affirmation. And we all play our part together. And then they come and they sit down, and pastor says, okay, we're just going to take a minute and shake hands. And somebody's shaking hands, and somebody says, hi, dear, what's your name? I've never seen you before. And this person's thinking, well, I'm just a visitor, but the people here are so nice that a few people took time to just get to know my name. And And then, you know, a little fellowship time, and somebody offered to go out and get a coffee for me and brought me one of those nice yogurty granola bars. Right? We're all just doing our thing. We're doing our part. And then on the way out of the church, you know, this single mom who's come with two of her little baby kids, some guy at the door says, "Oh, look at you carrying that car seat. Let me give you a hand with your baby bag and car seat. I'll just help you out to the car." And get out to the car, and her one tire's a little low. "You know what? I got a pump in the, one of those pumps you plug into the cigarette lighter. I can pump that up before you go." The lady's only here for an hour and a half, and she got a whole lot of loving. And here she was worried, thinking she's a single mom, and she's going to get judged coming to a Pentecostal church. Nuh-uh. You see what I'm saying? When we're all spiritual gifts, filled with love, spiritual gifts, it just looks like a gentle word in season, just a word of affirmation. Maybe it's a neighbor, and you just had this impression, "I just felt I should make carrot cake. But I felt I should make two, one for me and one for that grouchy neighbor across the way." Getting a smile out of him is like pulling teeth. My Lord, my Father. But you go and you get, you know what? If you get that idea, why wouldn't you make a second carrot cake? And I know the answer to that is because twice as much cream cheese icing for me. But if you can push away the selfishness and say, "Yeah, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I?" I was in a grocery store a couple months ago, and I'm very thankful for the voice of the Holy Spirit, because it didn't come to me. It came to the lady behind me. And I went to pay for my groceries. I only had like $30 of groceries, and all she had was one item. And I went to pay, and I don't know what happened, but my debit card, it said insufficient funds. I was like, "No, I know I have, like, I just put my pay in there. I know I got at least a few thousand bucks in that account. That's weird." And I tried it again, insufficient funds. The lady behind me, this is funny, she kind of gives me a little bit of a shove. I'm like, "Yeah, I'll get it." And she pushes me. I'm just like, "Hey, you want to fight me, lady? Come on." I'm not used to getting pushed around by a stranger. This lady said, "No, I'll get it." And she says to the, "Here, put mine through and then just add it together. I'll pay for both of them." I'm like, "Really?" Because, you know, I'm a Joe Christian guy. I'm supposed to be doing that. And this lady buys my groceries. Well, I get home later, and my wife had made a large purchase, and, you know, stuff happens. Wives, plastic, like. But a complete stranger paid for my groceries. I mean, I've done that for other people, but when somebody does it for me, it's like, wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's a good trick. But that symphony, listen to me, that symphony is what's changing the world. That bringing together, bringing forth, that symphony. And that's where we hear God's voice. So, secondly, the posture, let me be very quick with this. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Again, that's the heart of the gifts. That's the very basis of the gifts. With an attitude of humility, 1 Corinthians 13:12. You might not know what you're doing, but you humbly go for it. You don't fully understand the scope of the revelation. You're just like, "Okay, I'm going to try it. Wow." And then there was another verse there. Yeah, I'm sure it was important. Anyways, let's move on. The ministry gifts, let me just say this. We're not sharing our own stuff, but rather we desire to share eternal life and encouragement with thoughts or words or impressions from God. So, it's that simple. It's just, Holy Spirit, what do you want to share with somebody else, somebody in the church? And I'll tell you, this is the place to practice it. I've heard people say, you know what, the gifts are for the church. Because, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, it's about spiritual gifts in the context of worship. Why did Paul write that? Because they were out of whack. Too much tongues, not enough actually encouraging each other. So Paul said, you know what? go ahead, keep speaking in tongues, but you need to do something that's not just noise. You have to have love, and you need to be building each other up and encouraging one another. So that's in the church. Get on track. It's not all about you having your excitement and having the hair on the back of your neck stand up and, ooh, I felt the Holy Ghost. And no, it's not about you. It's about giving it away. But look at the rest of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. The spiritual gifts, listen to me, are for the street. This is how we change the world. Listen, if good preaching and prayer alone was going to change the world, we would have changed it 100 years ago. Seriously. But remember, Jesus taught us this crazy stuff. You know, those that believe in me, these signs will follow them. And he also said, these signs will follow the preaching of the word. So you know what? You just get the word into you and just spill his love everywhere you go. That's the heart of the thing, right? Is love. So if we can be really practical, I'm going to ask you now to just take a minute. Father, not just what do you think about me? That's where we started. But to go a step further, and Father, what do you think about other people? What do you think about the person sitting beside me? See, I find with Revelation, it goes one of two ways. Like I'll be in a gathering of believers. I'm just talking now the church context, but this can happen at the mall. This can happen at the grocery store. This can happen at the post office. Is all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will put a highlighter on somebody. That you're just kind of drawn to them. Like, and again, maybe because they're cute. But even if they're ugly, you know, like the Lord puts a little highlighter on them and says, notice this person. You ever get that? You just get a pull towards somebody? Pay attention to that. What does it mean? Are you supposed to pray for them? Always. Pray without ceasing. So you start praying. You say, Lord, you have something for them. And listen, be ready to reach for your wallet. Don't get all spiritual and say, well, the Lord's putting a burden on my heart. I'm going to just pray for them. Well, no, you might need to give. You might need to bless them. It freaks people out when they say, why are you paying for this? And you say, I just felt that's what God wanted me to do. I'm a Christian, and I just felt in my heart I was supposed to bless you and help you with this purchase today. So if you would take this as a gift, I'd like to pay. Which, just a little tip, do it at a coffee shop. Steakhouses are killers. It's a lot easier to be a Christian at Tim Hortons in Jesus' name. And in that moment, when they've opened up their heart and you just broke through years of hard ground that says, I'm sick of the church, I think all Christians are hypocrites, and all of a sudden you just broke through the ground, that's the moment you say, Father, how do you feel about this person? And maybe take a chance and share that. That's how easy it is. You know what's really cool is if Holy Spirit says, you see that cast on their leg? Ask them if you can pray for their leg. But it doesn't usually happen like that in a conversation. What it happens is you look down and you see a cast and you're like, oh, Jesus, please, no. Last time that happened to me, I prayed for an 18-year-old kid. And I said, do you feel any difference? And he says, it feels like my leg is on fire right now. I said, cool. I said, let's pray again. Does he feel anything now? And these were like short little 5-second prayers. God, thanks. You love to heal. Would you just do something about this leg right now in Jesus' name? That's my fancy prayers. And the guys, he said, it's not just on fire, it's tingling. His mom, I don't remember the kid's kid's name, but the mom's name was Brenda, and Brenda was a believer, and she said, I believe God's healing him right now. I'm like, oh, hello. And she said, this is what she said, it's a balloon cast, you know, the kind they just pump up. She said, take it off. Try walking on it. And I'm like, hold on a second here. Hold on. Let's be wise about this here. But the mum's right there, so I'm thinking much less chance of getting sued. And the mum says, no, let's just give it a try. Just sit down. He sits down. He pulls this, just Velcro straps, right? Pulls it off, puts a little weight on it. And I said, well, try putting a little more weight. He stands up, and then he starts jumping on the spot. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, how does that feel? He goes, there's no pain. I'm like, well, that's good. Try walking around. He's walking around. He's doing like, he's hammering his leg. And so I said to the mom, I said, how long has he been in the cast here? Like a few weeks, a month? She goes, Friday. And this was Sunday. I said, oh, 2 days. I said, was it just like a light sprain and you had the cast? No, we were in the emergency room. The doctor said he'd need this 6 to 8 weeks. Well, this is going well. Like, you'd never know what the Holy Spirit actually wants to do. You know what that sounds like a lot to me is the New Testament. And this is the thing. You guys have heard me now preaching for about 12 hours between last night and today. It's just me. Like, I'm just normal. Like, I'm not one of these super spiritual guys. I'm just me. It's Mark, right? People call me Pastor Griffin. I'm like, oh, sorry, my dad's not here right now. Can I take a message? Like, I'm perpetually amazed at how big God is if I'm just little and get out of the way, right? And here's the deal. I don't live in your neighborhood. I don't know your neighbors. I don't know the people you know. You do. And she's thinking, thank God he doesn't know my neighbors. That'd be embarrassing. Yeah, they're your people. And the same Holy Spirit that empowers me, he empowers you. Who does he want you to pray for? Who does he want you to make a cookie for? Hey, can I come over and help you with this? Or, like, you know, there's need in your neighborhood. And the Holy Spirit, if you ask him, he'll help you pick what the most important need is. You can do this. You can hear from the Lord. Because I'll give you a little hint. You know how he feels about your neighbors?
Same way he feels about your neighbors.
Yeah. He's crazy about your neighbors. You know what? He's so crazy about your neighbors. He gave the most extravagant gift in the world for them. He gave his beloved boy to die an accursed death on a cross to pay for their sins. Like, he really, really cares about your neighbors. Like, this is a big deal. This is a game changer. And listen, he's not looking for you to stand up on a street corner and get a megaphone and preach hellfire and brimstone, unless that's your calling. God bless you. Thanks for coming out. Just want somebody to love them. How long is it going to take you to try this? Would it be reasonable to say by Wednesday? Would it be reasonable to say by Wednesday you could ask the Holy Spirit, is there something I could do for a coworker or a neighbor or a relative or an acquaintance, is there something I could do to love them? We used to sing this song like back in the 70s. Some of you will know this song, some of our some Pentecostals that are as old as me. We used to sing this song, Robbie, called "Oh to Be His Hand Extended." Remember that one? Reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus, my Lord, so that others may know and be blessed. Are you willing to be that person? Might cost you some money. Might take a sacrifice. It's definitely going to cost you time. Maybe some prayer. Maybe he doesn't want you to do it by Wednesday, but I'm going to ask you to ask for instruction. Because he might say, no, I want you to do this 2 weeks from Thursday. It's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. So would you do me a favor? Would you just write this down if you're taking notes? For next week's devotions, ask the Lord, like wait on him. Say, God, who do you want to touch? Who do you want to love? And how can I help? Simple questions. Who do you want to touch? How do you want to love them? How can I help? And if that's a church person, that's cool too. But why not stretch a bit? Try and touch somebody at work. Extended family member, friend. That makes sense? Just trying to be really, really practical today. Because the Holy Spirit's really, really practical. We're way over time already, but any questions or comments before we wrap it up? Clear as mud. Word of knowledge, that's a great question. There's 9 power gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of faith, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, discerning of spirits, gift of miraculous powers, gift of healing. 9 power gifts. My sister's asking specifically about the word of knowledge. So let me just give you a quick definition. Word of knowledge is to know something you would not normally know unless the Spirit of God had given that revelation. Wisdom is having wisdom of what to do with that knowledge that you would not normally have unless the Lord had given you that wisdom. So that lady walking up at the restaurant table in Swiss Chalet, I would have no normal way of knowing that she's having boyfriend troubles and she's brokenhearted. Because she's smiling and she's pleasant, she's got her waitress face on, right? So in that case, I heard a phrase in my head. Boyfriend troubles, broken heart. Just like you got this word over here of raise your expectations. Just an impression. Oh, this might be worth sharing if this is on the next slide. Yes, it is. Oh, I'm so thankful for this. Because this is an answer to your question. So you ask yourself, what do I currently know? What is my present level of knowledge? I don't know anything. So Father, what are you saying to this waitress? So that's the next question. Then the next question, is this for now or later? Timing is everything in the kingdom. It's not a matter of if you're going to love people or share the good news, it's when. So should I share it with her or should I just pray? God help her with her boyfriend. Because sometimes he just wants you to be quiet and do nothing except pray for them. And then when I do share it, when should that be and where and how can I do it humbly? Those are great questions. And then the last question, this will be really helpful to you, WWATD, also known as what would Alex Trebek do? Come on, Robbie, that's good material right there. And what is Alex Trebek known for? Is he puts it in the form of, right? So you don't say to the
Lord would say to you, Swiss Chalet waitress, thou hast had problems with thine boyfriend. Repent.
No, You put it in a question. You don't have to speak definitively, the Lord would say to you. Even here in church, you don't have to, the Lord would say to you. That's okay when you have this confidence. Yes, this is 100% biblical. I keep going ahead, eh? Yeah, so the spirit of Alex Trebek is, can I ask you a question? I don't know this for sure, but are you having problems with your boyfriend? Again, there's so many of the stories I can tell to you about words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning spirits have to do with, well, so I just asked this question. And that's how quite often it happens. So same kind of thing. You get a thought, you get an imagination, a thought comes to you, a phrase, and you say to somebody, you know, we're just on the bus together, and I hope this isn't offensive to you, but I was praying for you. Seriously, I'm not creeping you. Look, I'm married and everything. Everything's cool. I just, as I was praying, boom. And you just ask them a question. And inevitably, they'll say, even though you just asked a question, they'll say, how did you know that? Remember the woman at the well? She said, you know what, the guy I'm, because Jesus said, go get your husband. And she said, listen. Jesus said, you're not kidding. Listen, not only are you not married presently, the guy you're with now, you're just shacking up with, and you've had a bunch of husbands previous. Do you remember her response? She goes back into town, and she says, he told me everything I ever did. No, he said one fact. He said one fact, well, a couple details, and her heart's laid bare. I'll tell you, when you pull out a word of knowledge and you just put it in the form of a question, is everything okay with your boyfriend? I sense you're just brokenhearted that something's not going right. There's this feeling, he told me everything I ever. You know what? That is the Spirit of God. Just breaking through somebody's tough exterior and changing their lives. You know what? It's good in church. It's 100 times better in the street. I was telling you last night about the guy in the bar. What it was, we were on a church event, hayride. And I saw this guy at the church, and he said to me, I'd love to talk to you. How long are you in town for? And I said, I'm just here for tonight, and I head back, I don't know, in the morning or whatever. He said, I said, are you going on the hayride? He said, oh, I'm not dressed for it. I said, me neither. I didn't know there was a hayride. I just knew there was a preach. So I, you know, had a sweater and a little winter jacket, and that's it. And he said, I don't even have a jacket. I sold it. I said, you sold your jacket. Long story short, this dynamic young Christian man, his father had died. He's supporting his family. He'd gone out to work, wasn't making enough money to pay the rent, so he started selling crack. Obviously got away from God. He was doing a series of break and enters. He'd done some time in jail. Now he's doing drugs, selling drugs, doing what he can. But this particular weekend, he heard I was in town. He said, Griff, I just want to come hear you, connect with you. So we go to the hayride after. Him and I are the only guys that didn't know about it, didn't have coats. So everybody leaves on the hayride, and we're just like, it's minus 20. This is in north of Sudbury, Ontario. And we see some lights on across the compound, and it's a bar. There's like six people in the bar. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning. It's the only way we can not get hypothermia. So we go sit in the bar, and we talk, and the Holy Spirit just gave me the right questions. I don't know how else to describe it. Because the issue is not that he's doing drugs. The issue is not that he's doing break and enters. Those are just symptoms of a deeper pain that he had in his heart. And as I just, the Holy Spirit just put questions in my heart. And he said the same kind of thing. It was like, Griff, you knew everything I'd ever done. I didn't know anything he'd done except the questions. And sometimes you'll suspect he's going to answer this way, and it's the exact opposite. But you just keep asking questions by the leading of the Spirit. And so finally I asked him this question. Are you ready to give your life back to Jesus right now? The music is blaring. We have to lean in over the table and yell at each other just to hear what we're saying. And he said, yes, I would. I said, pardon me? He said, yes, I would. He said, can you pray for me? I said, no, do it yourself. Because I'll tell you do a repeat after me prayer, he probably would have invited Buddha into his life, not hearing what I'm saying. So I said, just pray, and I'll agree with you. And he's praying this beautiful prayer. And I said to him, were you filled with the Holy Spirit when you were saved? He said, yes. I said, guess what? The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother and never leave you or forsake you. You're still full of the Holy Ghost. He said, what? I said, you're still full of the Holy Ghost. He says, I know, I heard you. It just doesn't feel like it. I said, let's just worship God together in tongues. And he lifts his hands and we start worshiping God in tongues in the bar. I'm pretty weird. But this is the thing, is if you'll just ask the right questions, you are surrounded by people that are looking for something more. Seriously. If you take them a touch of the supernatural, again, you can talk till you're blue in the face. A lot of people just get angrier. You just get more frustrated, you trying to convince them. But if you ask the Holy Spirit, what can I do? Again, it's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when and where. So, I'm going to make a declaration over you. Just be activated in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Fully, fully activated. Every bit of Holy Spirit that's in you, I decree and declare over you a freedom to give him away. And guess what? The more you give, the more you get. In Jesus' name. Bless you guys.